You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. A couple of exciting announcements. My friends over at Sovereign Media, Helene Lipson and Greg Prescott from N5D, are sponsoring an incredible event in Los Angeles this month on the 25th. I'm planning on attending, along with presenters George Nuri, Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, Nora Harold has been on the show a couple of times, Laurel Eisenhower, and many others. You can find out more and register at www.n5d.com. For those who are having financial difficulty, there are options, so go to the website and check it out, work out the details, and I'll meet you there. Next, my new website is up and running, so you can watch the series of 20 video interviews that I did with Andrew Bartzis on our galactic history. For those who would like to read the transcripts that I created, there is a small download fee to support my work. I'm giving away signed copies of my book, Tales of a Zany Mystic, to the first three people who download a full set of transcripts. When you order through PayPal, type the code FREEBOOK. So write this down, www.galactichistory.com. If you didn't write this down in time, don't worry. Go to my website here on BBS Radio or type in www.afiresidechat.com for the Galactic History link and type in free book. I'll send an email to get your mailing address and we'll send a signed copy along with a personal crystal to say thank you. Tonight, my guest is Eve Lorgan. Eve is a dedicated counseling professional, UFO alien abduction researcher, Anusara yogi, and writer. She began her pioneer work with alien abductees while earning her master's degree in counseling psychology in 1992. She also holds a BS in biochemistry and worked in the biotechnology industry for 7 years. The most prominent aspect of Eve's counseling and support is with those who are experiencing some form of alien or paranormal orchestrated love relationship issues, or what she calls the love bite. The love bite is a misunderstood and highly taboo aspect of the alien abduction experience. Alien engineering of human love relationships and alien manipulation of abductees' lives. However, as more people have come forward to share their unusual orchestrated love relationships, Eve discovered that this is not exclusive to the alien abductee subpopulation and is much more widespread. She authored The Love Bite, Alien Interference of Human Love Relationships. You can find out more about her pioneering work at www.evelorgan.com. So, now let's welcome Eve back to the show. Hi, Eve. How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me on. It's great.
It's always fun to talk to you. You know, you have done more work on putting a picture to this confusing issue of alien interference in human lives. And you have studied this you have numerous cases that you relate on your website, and you've also brought to light some of the work of the Italian researcher,
Corrado Malanga, yes.
Yes, that's fascinating stuff. I mean, your articles and drawings and radio and videos on your website are just fantastic. So, what has been your finding after you wrote The Love Bite, and what are people saying, and what have you found is common to other people that have not been necessarily abducted?
Oh, well, good question.
Well, thank you.
It's amazing, though. I'm really glad that I ran across Dr. Corrado Malanga's research with the alien abduction and what he calls alien interference, because, as you know, many people discovered it's really not necessarily only a physical phenomena with respect to extraterrestrials, but more transdimensional, hyperdimensional kinds of beings that interact in such a way that they can leave physical evidence, but they could also interact in a way where they do a type of soul abduction, for lack of a better term. They have parasitic kind of nature, and they also interfere in the abductees' lives in many ways, like medically, physically, emotionally, psychologically, but also with respect to interpersonal relationships, and of course, what I call the manipulated, orchestrated love relationship, which was my first book. And that was something I focused on because it was so taboo and it tended to happen a lot and it gave people much distress, but they weren't able to discuss it at all, really, or even with the current alien abduction researchers of the time. It was just too taboo and too strange. You know, it was just too out there, too on the fringe. And even now it sounds absolutely crazy. But there's something to it, I have to tell you, because even since publishing my first book way back in 2000, where it focused primarily on what I call the alien abductee, contactee subpopulation, where they knew they had multiple alien visitations throughout their lives and in their families, it tended to happen according to a syndrome that was identifiable by, you know, the remembering the aliens taking them several times throughout their lives and being pre-bonded with another targeted partner, sometimes since childhood. And oftentimes they didn't really remember this clearly until they met the partner later in life, or they did hypnotic regressions and these memories started surfacing. So that was basically identified, that this happened more with alien abductees who knew that they were being taken because they had a greater conscious recall of this pattern in their lives. But, you know, go several years forward, as I got more and more cases of people reporting this to me, there was another syndrome that was becoming more prominent that I think is still very much part of the phenomena, but it's really the aspect of what I call the energy vampirism aspect of the orchestrated, manipulated love relationship. And so many of the same characteristics occur. Let's say in my second book, The Dark Side of Cupid, as what I described in the, quote, alien love bite, alien engineered relationships. But in the second book, I wanted to talk more about the dynamics of the relationship itself with respect to psychic energy vampirism or emotional vampirism, where really what was identified behind that whole syndrome and behind the relationship is some kind of paranormal influence or interference, where they, what I call a third-party entity, like a ghost, a spirit, a reptilian, an alien, or some kind of hyperdimensional, transdimensional parasite or entity interfering in some way in the relationship. So that was the second book. But more often than not, what we're finding, the more lethal end of this, the one, the ones where people, why they come to me as, you know, the anomalous trauma counselor, is because they have a partner that they believe is being heavily influenced by some kind of entity, or even being possessed or partially possessed by a non-human entity, such as a reptilian being. Although that's not always the case. Sometimes the entity can take different masks, and so that's why I don't necessarily say this is all, quote, aliens and ETs. So that was kind of like a mouthful there, but really it's becoming more and more clear, and it is a definite pattern that's reproducing itself. This is not something I'm making up at all.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I've heard this over the years. I've heard about this, and I, for myself, I'm absolutely convinced that this is a reality that people are not talking about, and so it doesn't get covered, and then it's kept quiet, and people silently suffer in these relationships, which derail them. And you know, so it seems like there's an agenda here, and you've kind of put together the reason for this. It seems that what have you found is the source of the derailment?
I've found, you know, some key factors that it can affect really anybody. Although what I discovered in the beginning was that it was more prominent because we discovered it within what I call the subpopulation of people who had regular alien abductions or MILABs, or even people with certain kinds of abuse histories like ritual abuse or in mind control MKUltra kinds of projects. But as I got more and more reports, it happened to also, quote, normal people, right, who didn't have these histories. And sometimes these people were very spiritually astute. They were like heightened awareness, bright shining light kind of people, where they would just get, you know, these awful partners that they thought they were their soulmates, and then they may get one, two, three of them in a row, and it was like they're being derailed and targeted by these weird psychopathic kinds of hosted partners that are literally sent in their lives like some kind of Romeo agent to basically throw them off from their spiritual path of awakening and awareness. So as certain people get closer and closer to heightened spiritual awareness and even, quote, liberation and enlightenment, they get thrown these tests and trials and derailments through these what I call archontic forces, demonic forces, whatever you want to call it, that it starts happening, and they start able to recognize that there is something there. You know, it's not just people who have victim childhoods and it's all their fault, and, you know, the victimology kind of blame it on the victim psychology. There is something going on. And so I've done many more interviews on my website of people who've had recent relationships where they knew there was some kind of manipulation going on with unusual synchronicities, and certain patterns were starting to become evident. So the last one that I interviewed was actually a pranic healer from South India who was a very sensitive, you know, psychic, spiritually aware, and dedicated person, you know, on the path to, you know, helping others heal and liberation and enlightenment. So this person is like extremely spiritual, bright light kind of person who was, you know, set up like four times in a row with a certain kind of partner that, what's interesting is about this person is in his tradition, which is Vedic, they have an ancient legend based on some of their scriptures that there really is such a thing as twin flames. And like the soulmate twin flame thing, where when you truly have that kind of connection, where you really have the twin flame thing, you can actually have that relationship serve as a vehicle for liberation and enlightenment. And in their tradition, they call it Ardhanosh, I can't explain it, Ardhanoshivara, something like that. And it's on my website. So there's a big article about that and what that's about. And he really seemed to think, as I did, that there is something to the disruption of true love, because a lot of times, let's say, when people have these relationships over the years, what I've found is that they may have noticed that in hindsight, let's say they got set up once, twice, three times by a partner that had these weird, like, characteristics of being manipulated, they noticed that there was a pattern that the person that they were set up with later in life actually resembled maybe, like, the real soulmate. So it was like there's some kind of imprint within someone. And this is something that the Indian pranic healer talked about in his interview, that even when he was younger, he knew he had this deep soul knowing that who his, quote, real twin flame partner was. He would just know who she was. And then the ones that he was set up with always had this familiarity of recognition, but they weren't quite right. So I think there's something to it, that these entities who do set us up, they know somehow. They're able to somehow go into the Akashic records or read it in your aura, whatever they do, to find out your history. In fact, if you're a really bright soul who's here to help liberate others, or you're close to that point in this cyclement or whatever you want to call it, it's like there's these archontic forces that just zero in on the brightest lights, and then they serve to try to derail that person from birth onward. And you don't find out until you wake up later in life, in your adult life, like they knew who you were before you knew who you were. And it's really strange. And it sounds like an awful, like, Matrix conspiracy, but this is starting to show up a lot more, you know, now.
Oh, it's very real. Very real.
Yeah. So it's just amazing, you know, and then really learning how to become stronger and stronger and building one's own spiritual empowerment and awareness to deflect these disruptions and this, like, program, you know. And so it's an ongoing investigation, really, to learn, you know, what's really happening and what to do about it. So that's really my work. It's like, how can we empower ourselves so that when we run across these things, we can become more empowered and more aware and, you know, realize where these setbacks are. And I think a lot of our belief systems have been really corrupted in terms of spiritual traditions and religions, and that you come to find out that so many of them have actually been at the top. There's some kind of head reptilian or Draco entity that's manipulating that particular religion. And this is something that the pranic healer that I just interviewed talked about, that he was able to know this because of his own sensitivity and extreme heightened awareness, mm-hmm. that even though there's many traditions and, let's say, methods of healing you can learn, like Reiki and pranic healing, that you have to be really careful that some of the methods are good and you can learn these methods, but very often at the top there's always this head reptile, you know. And then something
right.
I found years ago,
right.
you know, with
right.
people that I've worked with. And what's amazing is that many of the people I've worked with, let's say abductees and MILABs, and I may have to go into, like, what's a MILAB, you know, but many of these people are extremely sensitive and very psychic people. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're taken and put in some of these projects sometimes. And they're used as
mm-hmm.
operatives under mind control because of their abilities. And so,
because
of working with these people over the years, you know, I work with some of the most psychic people there are. And, you know, there's people who actually can perceive these entity parasites within someone or overshadowed, depending on their clairvoyant capacity. And, you know, it's really amazing understanding and seeing things through a paranormal perspective. And so in The Dark Side of Cupid, in my second book, it's really, if you want to look at it a different way, you could say it is a paranormal clairvoyant view of what happens in love relationships that are being basically hijacked by a hyperdimensional energy vampire being, and how this
mm-hmm.
actually can be perceived at greater and greater levels of awareness.
Oh, absolutely. And as
yeah.
people become more aware of the multidimensional aspects of themselves, and as you say, as their light shines brighter, then they attract those entities to them. And so this is not only going on independent of the government, but the government is responsible for the MILABs aspect. And I know people personally who are involved with the super soldier programs and psychic mm-hmm. control and mind control. I mean, it gets so deep that, you know, it's mind-boggling. Maybe you could explain a little bit, because people have asked me this before, what MILABs stands for and what that is, what aspect of this, what role it plays in this picture.
Okay. Well, something that we learned, probably this term actually started coming out in the mid-1990s, and actually I think it started with Leah Haley Davenport, who had written her testimony of alien abductions and military abductions mm-hmm. in her experience. And so instead of saying military abduction, we would just say MILAB, and that this would describe a military abduction or a person who've had a military abduction who was also involved in the alien abductee or visitation lifestyle or program.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what, you know, what had happened to Leah Haley was that, you know, she was abducted by aliens that she recalled, and then later on the tail end of that, then abducted by some kind of human military element that would come and interrogate her sometimes about the aliens or do different things. So I had met many people over the years, especially in Southern California when I did my support group, started talking to more and more people, abductees, who also had the military abduction element. We just call it the MILAB experience now, because it
mm-hmm.
it involves actually more than, let's say, a physical abduction by a military, you know, element in a white van or a helicopter or whatever vehicles they use. And sometimes, you know, the real physical event occurs just like that with, you know, surface level kinds of technology. But more often than not, there's a subsurface level technology and weird paranormal stuff that goes along with some kind of collusion with alien technology and memories of these
mm-hmm.
people of being, you know, taken to underground bases and then used maybe experimentally medically or being used as operatives under mind control, like a Manchurian candidate, for certain what I call black operations that may be with human handlers, you know,
mm-hmm.
or with alien handlers working with humans.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
mm-hmm.
that's this element. So as, you know, the age progressed from, like, the 90s to the mid-2000s, it started getting more and more of the stories of the super soldiers. And my first encounter with a super soldier was, and we didn't even call it then, was in 1998 when I met a man named Andy Perro in Philadelphia and Long Island, who basically came out to tell his story of being a Montauk boy. And, you know, he was one of these MK-Ultra persons who was genetically, claimed to be genetically modified to have abilities and then tortured and traumatized and conditioned under mind control to have certain superior abilities, including psychic ability and super soldier capabilities of combat and things that you just would not believe. So he was the first one that came out, and I interviewed him years ago. But then from that interview, many more came to me and told me about their stories of being involved in these covert MK-Ultra super soldier projects. But there was also aliens involved in many of their experiences where they worked maybe alongside aliens or saw aliens or had to do crash retrievals in part of that work. And then there's the virtual reality scenarios that they do, which is the thing that's really talked about a lot, because sometimes you can't tell if this is a physical event, did this really happen, was this really an operation under mind control on a physical level, or is this just some kind of virtual reality mind job? They're just inserting these things in your brain and literally training you with these virtual reality lucid dreams as training or, you know, like fast training scenarios. So all that's going on is just bizarre. So in these people's lives, they also have engineered and orchestrated lives at a very deep level that goes beyond their, quote, abductions, and it goes into their love lives and their, quote, love bite relationships. And so a lot of times they'll get set up with someone who's in a project also, and sometimes that person acts as their handler, and that other person's under mind control to keep them in line and in the program. So you see that a lot in MKUltra and the Monarch programming and the ritual abuse, but you also see it with the MILABs, but it's a little more streamlined in terms of the technology with the MILABs and the abductees. So it's amazing. I know there's occult black magic along with technology that's being used to carry out these kinds of operations.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dr. Stephen Greer wrote about that in his book. I can't remember the name of it right now, but he was interfered with these devices that were could literally take his astral body out, and he was fighting for his life at one point. And you know, there are remote devices, and then they use psychics as well to affect us, and then there are astral entities and parasites and the rest of it. So it gets pretty messy. You know?
It is. It's amazing that, you know, I don't think it's a black and white situation,
because
I've run into people who were part of projects whose, let's say, handlers and controllers didn't like what was happening or trying to move away from some of the more malevolent areas of control, realizing that a lot of these aliens were bad liars and deceivers and made deals, and they don't want to be part of it anymore and want to use actually a real human team to be able to offset what damage has been done.
Uh-huh.
Although some people believe, oh, they're all controlled, you know. And so the real issue to me, I know I'm going off probably on a tangent here, but the real issue boils down to what I think Dr. Corrado Malanga has brought out so clearly in his investigations and his research, and that has to do with the transdimensional parasite aspects of how the aliens truly interact with us on these other levels of control and manipulation. It all boils down to a type of what I call soul energy vampirism, because that's actually what they want, and somehow what they lack with their life, whatever life force they are, that there's something about them that lacks what we have. And so they try to vampirize that and live through us to maintain their own kind of immortality and life through us. So it's really not always a physical abduction as the extraterrestrial hypothesis tries to promote, but it's more of a transdimensional parasite issue. So, and then the parasites themselves will parasite in aspects of our being that affect our mind and our spirit and sometimes our soul. And so this can also affect behavior and life choices and could act as a kind of control mechanism or programming mechanism in these people's lives without them even realizing it. So it's kind of scary when you think about it, but also if you understand it, then there's a solution. And so Malanga has actually created liberation techniques based on what he devised through hypnosis and what he calls mental simulations in neurolinguistic programming, which basically work to help integrate these aspects of our being which have been kind of disintegrated and dissociated by the process itself of abduction. And so when we use these techniques and we really want to do something about it and are dedicated towards integrating, then it works and you can be free from alien interference. So I'm working with these techniques when I help people now, even within, quote, the love bite thing, that it's still part of alien interference. And so that's what I help people try to delete the alien interference in their own lives.
Now, you had a post on your site that was by Dr. Malanga, which describes the different types of aliens that he was able to categorize, the major types. And it also had a diagram of the cloning operation,
yes.
How people are cloned. Is that still on your site? Because that was fascinating.
Yes, it's called Alien Hierarchies and the Research of Dr. Corrado Malanga, and it was an interview with one of his English-speaking colleagues named Dorica, and we did an interview based on, you know, several months of, you know, back and forth interviews and doing sessions together with abductees and super soldiers, and you know, because the way they described the beings wasn't necessarily how I described it in my culture. Like, for example, one type of entity that would come up a lot in, let's say, the Milab and abductions, the more malevolent ones anyway, would be like the alien greys and the reptilians and sometimes the Draco beings or the mantis beings.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what Malanga described, and he calls, like he would call the reptilian a different kind of being. He would call it a growl. And what he discovered was that some of these beings, based on their hierarchy, their true essence was actually, they would have, let's say, a masquerade or a cyborg body, which is not even a real body, let's say like a Nordic type, six-fingered Nordic type of body, which was actually a cyborg type of housing or container, mm-hmm. or the entity within, which was really a black shadow being from a what he called a bidimensional universe.
Mm-hmm.
So then one of these beings would be like the growl, and I guess the reason why he called it the growl, and it's really more like the reptilian type, was when he did these alien parasite removals with the techniques, oftentimes when there was one of these shadow beings with the growl image, which would be kind of like a reptilian, it would literally like fight and growl and make like faces on the person, almost like an exorcism going on in some cases.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. So that's why they called it that, and that was actually a common kind of being that would be inside someone or parasited. And, you know, there would be different kinds of implants, for example, that they would find, you know, in different parts of the body, and then what kind of, it's just so amazing. I mean, it's complex, but he did find that there was a hierarchy of beings, and that, let's say, the alien grays that are more commonly known are actually lower on the totem pole of the aliens in terms of power and dominance and control, and there's actually many different kinds of grays as it is, but then he would work on up to, let's say the reptilians and the Dracos and the mantis beings and the five-fingered Nordic type and then the orange beings, and the one that was the higher hierarchy was one he called the Orus Ra entity and the primordial man, and then the Orus Ra entity was a being from, let's say, black universe or the dark universe, I don't know what else he calls it, bi-dimensional dark universe, like the parallel opposite mirror universe that's all darkness. And this being is actually nothing more than a black shadow taking the form of, often taking the form of Orus, which is like the chicken Egyptian god, but the being inside, they called it Ra, and that was actually the black shadow entity that would take on the form, and it would have to take on this form in order to interact with us in our universe. So that was the one that was kind of higher on the hierarchy in terms of malevolent control. And then I did an interview with a Scandinavian Milab woman who was extraordinarily aware and psychic and intelligent, one of these like extraordinary people. And she remembered experiences with the, quote, Orus Ra entity, and how in these experiences, which bordered with the occult aspect and the Milab aspect, which there was MKUltra involved, with the occult aspect. And then what basically she described was how they tried to do rituals to basically insert this Horus Ra entity within her. And she basically fought it tooth and nail because she did not want this entity within her. But she describes what it felt like when this entity was in her and what the energy felt like and some of the symbols associated with this entity that go back to some of this ancient Egyptian stuff. So it was pretty amazing. And it was, you know, some of it was really kind of horrific. And people would be like, I can't believe this. This is just too awful. You know, they don't want to believe that within the alien abduction visitation phenomena, there's something so malevolent. Many people, they don't want to view it that way. They think, no, no, there's positive beings. My beings are positive. No, I'm not part of that, you know. So, but I would say definitely you have to rule out these things by really being willing to just read the material and find out, you know, is this going on in your life? And
Oh, absolutely. And there are also beings that masquerade as the false light and as gods.
Yes.
And I think we
one of the entities that Malanga found. He called it the LUX being, Lux being. And this particular type of parasite was actually a parasite that didn't have a body. But when they did, let's say, the regressions on people and would come and find certain parasites were within, it would often act like a light being spirit guide. And it would be nothing more than this, like, fuzzy white ball of light that would sometimes move around in different parts of their body, or it would escape and move and be really evasive. And that he believed that this particular type of being was actually a emanation of Lucifer, that there was something connected to that entity, and that entity tries to parasite because somehow it lost its body, and so it looks for human bodies to host itself into.
So
I just thought that was pretty amazing, that, you know, when people have spirit guides, they have to really be careful, like,
really,
what they're channeling or what they're in touch with. And arrogance is always a big part of these entities, like extreme arrogance and sometimes extreme intelligence and extreme psychic abilities, that they can give you extreme psychic abilities as well.
Absolutely.
So,
I've seen this in numerous cases, and you know, one of my theories, and it's not my theory, but one of the things that I align with, is that that Yahweh was probably one of these beings, and that, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious to us now that these gods that people worship were actually some of these malevolent beings that masquerade as light beings.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me even of that, remember that TV show series called Stargate SG-1, where they found the Gaul, who had the symbiote, and, you know, how the those Egyptian-headed beings, and actually some of those beings are actually seen in some of these experiences, and that they really do parasite. And so I think there's something to that, that, you know, it's based on what's true and not just a TV show. You know, this has been going on for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we know that also that these shows are created from underground labs where they feed this information to the Hollywood industry so that they can get it out there. And then they can say, well, we told them that this was going on. Look at the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, or to confuse us. To make us think, oh, you've been watching too much Star Trek. It's all in your imagination, you know.
Well, you know, one of our mutual friends, George Kavassalis, talks about this a lot, about the false light beings and the false light matrix.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the New Age system has been all, you know, everything is capable of being corrupted. Anything that gets big enough, you know that there are beings behind it that are manipulating things, whatever the movement is, whether it's, you know, the political movements, spiritual movements, religious movements, they all, when they get big enough, are corrupted and have, you know, they can be siphoned off in a multitude of directions. So this is one of the things that we have to watch out for, is the false light matrix.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, you wouldn't know until you came across it and over again. And just like some of these twin flame love bite relationships, it can be really elaborate in terms of how someone is set up, and, you know, all these synchronicities and profound things that happen, or spirit guides or even psychics that tell them, you know, oh, this is your soulmate, and it turns out to be one of these orchestrated things, and it must happen on these really subtle levels of fourth dimensional and beyond kind of orchestrations that just leave you wondering how the heck they can do this.
Yeah.
But it does happen.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And, you know, it makes sense if you consider that we're living primarily in a three-dimensional world, or lower if we're just paying attention to the five senses, and the brainwashing and propaganda that comes is assaulting us from every direction. And then if you add to that the idea that we're being dumbed down through fluoride and chemtrails and you know, various other technological devices that blanket mind control the masses, then, you know, we're operating we're like blind people with a white cane, you know, kind of trying to flail about and figure out what's going on.
It's a real gauntlet to get through, and you know, getting through the matrix and realizing all the levels of deception, and, you know, getting through this is really a lesson in and of itself, you know. And
yes.
I would hate
yes.
to feel like this is all negative, that there's something that we can learn from this, and that there's a greater lesson. It's like enhancing our awareness, you know. There has to be a way out of this, I believe. I don't want to sound like it's, you know, hopeless at all, but it's certainly a challenge.
No kidding. No kidding. Well, you know,
put it mildly.
These forces that feed off of us, and there's no question that we're all food at some level, then these forces must be consuming these higher energies that we are comprised of. And so I feel that we're the powerful beings, and that everything has been reversed. Everything is reverse engineered. And you can see that in sacred geometry being reversed, and the symbology being reversed, and sacred geometry used in cities, and covering up ley lines and sacred sites. And you know, it's so deep that you would take a six-hour show just to get through the tip of the iceberg.
Because I did listen to Andrew Barthes's, you know, the interviews you did with him, and, you know, it took me a while to finally listen to them all, but, you know, a lot of what he said makes sense. But it's also true that there's probably some genuine truths and good things out there that have been co-opted or hijacked or manipulated. And I think a lot of the problem in the conspiracy circles, what I've seen, is that they tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater, where they think, oh, well, just because, you know, this is a cult symbol, then everything's evil associated with this symbol or this group or this religion or this person. And it's really not that way. You really have to go back to the basics of what I think is like the energetic signature of who we're dealing with and what we're dealing with, and keep going back to a more basic recognition based on energetic signature. And this is something that the pranic healer, you know, I had him describe for me, like, how can you tell, you know, if you're really dealing with this Kali energy or Gaia energy, and because there's all these different names for gods and goddesses, and depending on the group, you know, some people think this goddess is evil, but this goddess is good, and they both have the same name, and then you're like, you know, so confused by the end of the day, you know.
Right.
So it all goes back to, you know, how do we detect what it feels like? And so this is why it's good to, you know a lot of really good psychics who are humble and pure-hearted and really test their sensitivities. And I think that one of the big things in terms of, I don't know, power, having true power, spiritual power and awareness, you have to have a kind of humility to really want to work for the highest good, and that you have to really let go of arrogance and egotism and attachment in such a way that you could tap into true power. And I think it's hard, because most people, there's a lot of ego there. And once the ego is latched on, you know, that's when the deception could come in. Like with this Orus Ra entity, it's very deceptive. Sometimes you can't tell when you don't have the sensitivity to discern between this Orus Ra entity and maybe something else. So that's why I interviewed the people that I do, so that they could say, okay, it feels like this. This is the subtle difference. And so you could really narrow it down to, you know, what energy is this?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's why we need to work from the heart energy and from love as well, and connect to that, because the mind can be deceived. And
And that's something that George talks about a lot too, George Kavassalis.
Oh,
and
I
told you
he's
in an email
be on
back
next week, by the way. So,
oh, that'll be great.
Yeah,
yeah,
we're going to do a two-hour special. But, you know, that isn't that the way that Neo was portrayed in the Matrix trilogy? And, of course, Neo stands for the One. And to be the One, we're all the One. And to be that One, you have to be pure of heart. And, you know, that is really the test that I use for myself, is what is my motivation? You know, why am I doing what I'm doing, and am I trying to get something out of this situation, and or am I truly trying to help in some way? And we can deceive ourselves, but when I really get confused, I take off my shoes and socks, I go out into nature, I earth, and I sun gaze, and I start to feel the love that's there in all nature. I mean, the birds, once you start connecting with the trees and the wind and the birds, there is a sign. If you're tuning into the subtle energies, and those signs will guide you just absolutely effortlessly.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know that tuning into nature has been good for me too, and just kind of learning how to stay connected with that, and the heart energy too. In fact, there's people that I interviewed that actually I haven't put up on my site yet, but actually with somebody who was like gang stalked and had a lot of awful things happening with black magic attacks, and they finally found out, you know, there's a certain way that she found, that a certain way of prayer that really helped to deflect those dark energies. And also with perception, that you had to go back to working a lot out of the heart and a lot of the heart energy. And even, let's say, if you're trying to perceive the energy of an entity, You can do it through your third eye and stay in your mind and see things through your third eye clairvoyantly, and you may see one thing, and then when you go into your heart, you may perceive something completely different. I've had that happen to me, where it was like I was really amazed that we have to stay in our heart. And so a lot of my therapeutic work with people is to get reconnected with the heart, because the heart is the portal to the soul, and the soul is where our power and awareness resides. And the difficult thing about heart-centered is sometimes we have uncomfortable feelings about, you know, experiences in our lives or traumas or relationships or things that aren't working. And so part of a natural human thing is to, like, avoid our pain, avoid those bad feelings. And what happens is you jump out of the heart when that happens. And so when you jump out of the heart and you avoid your traumas, your unresolved issues, it throws you into the mind or maybe out of the heart, in such a way that now you no longer have that level of perception and discernment that you would have had if you stayed in your heart.
Right, you're out of balance.
So it's a heavy lesson to learn. It's like, I go into that in my book, like the blank spots, when if you don't deal with certain traumas and you stay out of your heart and you're disconnected and dissociated, then you're going to, sometimes you can keep attracting these like awful partners in life who are abusive, and you don't know why it keeps happening over and over again. You know?
Well, you know, I'm looking at your other website, and I thought, you know, I wanted to bring that up before it gets too late in the show. You're also involved with a website called Rise Multiversity, and there's some really interesting people involved with that, including my friend George, and I think Kelly Lachey is involved, and a couple other people. Would you share with us what this is? Because it looks really exciting.
Rise Multiversity is we're calling it a university of sorts, but more on what we're calling a multi-dimensional level that's based on what we see as the new emergent consciousness and awareness that many people who are awakening are moving towards, where they want to find something that offers more than what they'll find in a traditional, you know, radio show or a university or a class, where we can not only have information presented in what we call the teleconferencing video format, where we can have it interactive, but also we can provide discussions along with presentations and information or mentorship or support type of, we can call it a support group type of interactive formatting, so that people around the world who are really awakening, and they want to know, they want to go deeper than just, you know, information on a radio show or looking things up on the internet. They want to interact, and where do we go from here? Once we know this kind of information and these people are awakening in bigger numbers, we want to do something about it. We want to connect. We want to support one another. We want to make it real and connected and kind of avoid the, what I call the archontic technological way of interaction, which takes away from our power, because we really have to get back to the human connection element, even within a technology format. But what I'm seeing in like my work and many of the people who are in the multiversity, such as George Kavassalis, Kelly LaShaw, Sienna Lea, Tom Montauk, is that we work with people all over the globe who have serious issues and concerns about some of the things we're talking about that have to do with new awareness, whether it's the alien thing or conspiracies or whatever, but they may feel isolated within their own community or in their country, or they're really awake and they're like dealing with the matrix all around them, and they're just kind of like pulling their hair out because they can't find anybody to connect with that they could talk to, you know? So this will offer us an opportunity to connect and empower those who are awakening so that we can move forward with what we're learning, instead of feeling stuck and like if you live a double life, you know? So that's our aim.
Well, you know,
so
it's also, it looks like it will be kind of a balancing element to the New Age movement as well, because all of the people, at least the ones that I know of that are involved with it, are seasoned researchers in the galactic elements that are our heritage, and on all of the things that we're talking about on this show tonight. So, you know, I mean, George Kavassalis is one of the people I respect and trust, whose information I trust the most about a number of issues. So this is exciting.
Yeah, I'm really glad. I mean, Sienna Lea is actually the one who really organized and put this together and brainstorming and really doing a lot of the organizational work, and she has her own radio show as well, and she does what we call the shadow work, and in terms of therapeutics, where she had a mentor who was a phenomenal divine feminine powered woman therapist who taught her, you know, how to really work with the shadow element and create that space for people so that they can heal. So a lot of this has to do with when we deal with our own shadow and recognizing the shadow and learning spiritual discernment and emotional maturity, we're able to move past a lot of the programming and the New Age crap and some of the other things that keep people kind of stuck. So it really means facing the shadow, but it doesn't mean we're focused all on the dark side. We're kind of moving through it to learn how to deal with it and go forward.
Well, you know, there does seem to be a technological agenda, and I'm sure that you've heard of the event horizon that the scientists are pushing towards when artificial intelligence takes over. And there are a number of major scientists that appear to be in on the elite agendas that are pushing to move humans into a virtual reality. And you can see this taking place with the rise of cell phones and texting and our absorption into the matrix. It appears that they're, in a sense, on many levels, they're advancing the agenda quite rapidly.
Yes, and that's part of what I call the archontic mind parasite hosted consciousness in human bodies, which carries out this bizarre, inhumane agenda, which will lead to destruction of the human race and destruction of the planet. And we know that just based on observing these behaviors, not only within the alien abduction and the MILAB scenario, but observing people who are hosted, taken over by these entities and have this inhumane kind of really weird energy. And what they're doing is insane and inhumane, and it needs to be stopped. And the only way to do that is to not only recognize what these parasites are and how they get in there and return to our humanity and return to human connection and real human needs and feelings and get to that heightened awareness so that we have the insight to create tangible change and just basically bypass the insanity. Because, you know, going to your local politician isn't going to do shit. Sorry to say that, but really,
you're
it's
right.
Like we have to do the work. We have to do this from a grassroots level, one-on-one, and start doing the work and take the ball and run with it. You don't wait for getting the vote of your frigging mind-controlled banker, you know, down the road, whatever. You know what I mean? It's like
right.
You have to do the work, and you have to look for who's aware also and create our own network of aware
yes.
people. Just do it,
yeah.
you know?
Yes, absolutely. There, you know, we're creating islands of sanity, and a lot of people, a lot of different people are trying to reinvent the wheel, but Michael St. Clair wrote about it, this in his books, Light Seeds, I think it was, and
uh-huh.
he talks about establishing these resonance zones, I think they call
oh,
them
yeah.
radiant zones, and it's a beautiful concept of a zone of conscious, awakened beings that survive the assaults that the masses appear to be going for. So that could be mm-hmm. as small as one or two people in their
yeah.
own homes. Here, we're creating a radiant zone right now.
That's what we want to do.
Yeah, and this broadcast is a radiant zone, so people can, you know, be attracted to the light and see that there is a way out, that there are other people who are considering these topics and who are trying to become more informed about what's really going on beneath and beneath
yes.
and beneath, because you keep peeling away layers and there's another one.
I know, and this is something that has come up with, because I correspond with like what I call the deep researchers who have, you know, been involved in, let's say, communities or organizations where they wanted to affect, you know, positive change, and they would keep running into some of the same issues that would arise with the destruction of communities and how these, I don't want to call it, but like viruses and disruptors
yes.
within the community who are usually hosted characters what do you call reptilian hosted people who would move in and disrupt and conquer and divide and have certain strategies, tactics, and relationship dynamics that need to be identified so that you can nip it in the bud. Whenever you have a community or relationship, you're able to identify it clearly and nip it in the bud before they even have an opportunity to destroy the community or the organization.
Mm-hmm,
and this has
mm-hmm.
to be really recognized. If we want to start communities, we have to know about these things. And it sounds
mm-hmm.
you know, really awful, but if you don't
mm-hmm.
recognize these things on these heightened levels of awareness, you're bound to failure because they will move in and destroy because that's what they do.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And all you have to do is look at the world and how it operates, and you can see it.
Yeah.
It's mired in duality and stuck on stupid. So,
yeah,
you
maybe
know,
not forever, though. You know, it's part of our learning process to move forward and get beyond that. And I don't know. It's a challenge.
Well, and then, as you say, we have to do the work, and that includes holding our integrity. Not lying and manipulating, cheating, stealing, or, you know, raping and pillaging. And, you know, when we're doing something that is out of integrity or not in our integrity, that has to be cleaned up. Because if you don't keep yourself clean every level, thoughts, emotions, spirit, however you want to see it, multidimensionally, then that is an avenue or portal that they can enter. And it starts at the level of thoughts. You know, you can entertain a thought thinking, oh, this is harmless, but that thought can be an implant, and then it gets in, and once it's in, it's not so easy to get out, especially if
or even be able to identify, what those kinds of beliefs are that create a destruction down the road, and also knowing what our own human needs are so that we don't try to be so perfect that it's unrealistic, you know?
Right,
but
right.
facing the shadow and, like, learning how to communicate and learning how to function on a heart-centered way where we just
uh-huh.
take into account what it is being human and what's a natural human need and so that we function on a level where we don't have to be perfect like these perfect religious people who try to be too perfect and it'll never work, you know?
Right.
So it's like a whole new concept of learning, like, where these corrupt belief systems came from that
right.
the reason why things don't work, and then you just kind of have to trace it all back to what are these, what we call the archontic mind viruses that create belief systems that are totally false, that actually work against the human being.
Yes, and that appear to be the opposite. So when I see something that appears to be of the light or for the good, if I detect that there's judgment or negativity or any kind of exclusionary process, like these people are bad or this person is bad or, you know, whatever it is, that doesn't stand up for me, because there can't be any kind of exclusion or judgment of any human, because that doesn't come from source. It does not come from the heart.
Yeah.
So. Well, you know, we just have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to give you a moment to just share whatever you feel is the most important thing to convey to the listeners tonight, and also to mention your websites again and where they can find your work and your books.
Okay. Well, my website is evelorgan.com, and I have a lot of articles on there of many different categories from probably way back from like 1997. So a lot about alien abduction or mind control or spiritual warfare or relationships, or there's a lot of material and information also about my two books, which are available through Amazon.com, and the last one's also through Richard Dolan Publishing.
Oh, and, Richard, I like Richard.
Yeah. So
I met him at a UFO Congress.
See what else. And you can contact me through my website on the contact button if somebody wants to send me a request or have a question about what sessions I do with people. And so I don't know. And I guess in terms of what the most important thing I'm finding now is really, instead of being more on the research end of it, I'm finding that I want to focus my attention on the healing and the empowerment and the cultivation of heightened awareness, so that we have the capabilities to move beyond just information overload. And, you know, because we could learn about what the dark side is doing until we're blue in the face, but eventually we have to get to a place where we focus our attention on solutions and strategies and taking that next step towards making that happen. And so that's part of the Rise Multiversity and really the therapeutic work that I'm doing with people. And it's going more and more towards even shamanic work now. So, but it's effective for a lot of people. So things are working, but it's a learning process as well.
Well, that's beautifully said, Eve, and it's always a pleasure to have you back. And I look forward to our next conversation. And I found that Alien Hierarchies post.
Oh, good.
And that's on your website, so people can dig around for that. They'll find it there. There's a wealth of material at your site, and it's wonderful stuff. And I just love reading the posts and clicking on the links and finding out more. So thank you so much for coming on tonight, Eve, and it's just a great pleasure to talk to you.
Alrighty, thank you and good evening.
All right, good evening, everybody.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.